Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Sparky here, Charlie Usen producing the show, Other Side of the Glass still to come. Jason Belmonte, PBA Tour bowler, as the PBA is in town for All-Star Weekend. Both shows sold out. You, however, can still watch them on FS1 tomorrow and on Sunday. They have a pro-am and a meet and greet and stuff going on in Sussex tonight, so we'll talk to him about that. Jason Belmonte, I think you can make an argument, is probably the greatest bowler in PBA history. At least I can make that argument. We'll talk with him coming up at 4:40. Speaking of the greatest, he is one of the greatest of all time. He is Marcus Johnson, FanDuel Bucks basketball analyst, joining us now here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Marcus, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I love having you on because you always just say it how it is. And if I'm nuts, you tell me I'm nuts and we can have fun with each other. I want to talk about the Bucks and I want to talk about Giannis, but I'm going to start somewhere else. I'm sick of all of this nonsense going back and forth between the current era NBA player versus the players of the 90s and before, arguing back and forth nonstop about who could do what in each era and so forth. Like, this has never really been a thing before this, and I'm not going to say it's good or bad for the NBA because most fans probably don't care. But since I do this for a living and we play a lot of this stuff on the show, it just drives me nuts. I don't see the point of it because neither era will ever play the other era when they're in their prime. So it's a meaningless argument, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't see baseball talking about whether or not Mickey Mantle
right.
could hit in the current, you know, baseball
yep.
climate of today, or football, whether Red Grange would be able to, it's very interesting how basketball seems to be the one sport where, you know, we like to try and traverse time and space and say that Giannis could score 250 points in the 70s. You know, so from that standpoint, I definitely agree. It's nonsensical in terms of the ultimate. But at the same time, when you make those kinds of comparisons, and we just had Baron Davis on the Here District podcast today. We recorded; it'll be released next week. But you know, you've got to take into full context the completeness of that era in terms of not only how they played, but the mindset of players and the money that's being made, and then the nurturing and coddling, or however you want to describe it, of players. And one of the things that Baron pointed out today as we talked to him, Sparky, was that like a guy like Giannis, that he had the benefit of being a patient from the organization. And so now if you pick a guy like that and he's not averaging, you know, 20 a game by his second or third year, then you know, would he have been able to deal with, you know, the patients, or the organization been able to deal with the patients necessary to make sure that the full complement of his talents come to fruition, if you know what I mean. So it's so many factors involved. I agree with you. It makes no sense. The physicality of the game, the type of it's funny. I was watching tape of how defenses are played on the perimeter and why so many guys, especially on our team, get beat at the point of attack. That's because you can't touch anybody.
That's right.
As soon as you, and that's why Giannis is so good at drawing fouls and leads the league in free throw attempts. As soon as he puts his head down and draws the minimalist amount of contact, it's going to be a foul. And that just wasn't the case. So, I agree with you, but there's so many extenuating circumstances that determine those kinds of things. And we came to the conclusion, to put a period on this with Giannis, he'd have been a great player in any era because of his work ethic, because of his physical gifts, 6'11", ball handling skills, how he works on his game, the length of his arms and all the attributes that he has. He'd have been dominant in any era, but to say that, you know, he would just hands down be the best player of an era, we'll just never know. But, so what's the point?
But this is my thing. I've said, and maybe it's too simple or whatever, I think if you're a Hall of Fame player in one era, if you're given all the same assets that everybody else has in another era, you'd still be a Hall of Fame player probably in another era. For instance, talk about the gigantic weight rooms you had in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we had that dusty room at the Mecca. It's funny you mentioned it. I don't know if I told you the story or not, but I walked to practice at the Mecca from the locker room, and I see Sidney Moncrief kind of veer off to the side and then join us on the court for like our pre-practice stretching or whatever, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes later. So finally I followed him to see what he was doing. I didn't know what the heck he was doing. And he had got the Bucks to set up a little bench press in this little dusty side room as you head into the Mecca. And he'd go in there and pump iron before practice. And that was kind of a taboo back in those days. But he was like, man, I tell you, Mark, if you go out there and shoot about 50 shots immediately after you lift weights, then it won't impact your shot negatively. So I started lifting with it. But those are the kinds of elaborate setups that right. We had back in the day. And now the Bucks weight room is just, I walk through there, man, and I'm just blown away by 80% of the stuff I don't know how to use. You know, I walk through the Bucks weight room at the practice facility. 80% of the things I see kind of hanging and dangling all over the place, I have no idea how to use, what they're for. And that's just the nature of kind of where it is today.
Marcus, who is your nutritionist?
Mrs. Perkins from Perkins Hamburgers.
There you go.
Mrs. Perkins over at Perkins Hamburger Restaurant. They call it Perkins Hamburgers, but a little counter, two-counter restaurant that we ate at back in the day, and it was like, you know, it was steaks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So pre-game, post-game, breakfast, whatever it was, it wasn't the best probably food for you.
But that's my thing, right? So the current players, can talk about, oh, Giannis would do this. Giannis wouldn't be this big.
Yeah,
Giannis would not have turned out to look like this. Skinny Giannis would have had a hard time with how you guys lifted and what you were dealing with food-wise and nutrition-wise to get to that level. LeBron James, same thing. Probably doesn't get to that level of strength the way what you guys had to deal with to work with, and nobody ever talks about that.
Well, to your point, Barron was talking about the podcast he does with Draymond Green, and how Draymond, you know, is so finicky about his footwear, and how he can't play in any shoes but a certain brand and certain type of that brand of shoe. And Barron is like, well, then you couldn't play in the 70s in those Chuck Taylor Converse, you know, with the thin, wafer-thin bottoms and all that. So you wouldn't have been affected at all. You couldn't even get on the court, because you're talking about your feet today couldn't take any other kind of shoe but a specific, you know, high volume, whatever, Nike, highfalutin, kind of a Nike shoe or whatever it is he wears. But, yeah, so it's a total – it's funny you mentioned that. So Giannis was shooting threes one day at the practice facility. This is last year. I'm walking through getting some snacks or whatever. You know, this is like 24-hour snacks at the practice facility. That's another thing we didn't have. 24-hour access to the practice facility.
Right.
We didn't have that. And so he's working on his game. And as I walk by, he's like, hey, old school, you know, I looked up your stats, and you were not a very good three-point shooter. You know, and I shot like, you know, 15%, but they were heaves, they were in the quarter shots. And what I told him was that, look, man, if we would have worked on three-point shooting, you know, we would have been diligent enough to become respectable three-point shooters. And I would have shot, you know, maybe not 40%, but 37, 38% easily. I mean, my mid-range game was really, really top-notch. So I could have, you know, extended that range another 5 or 6 feet through work and diligence and practice. And so you can't, you look at Larry Bird, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Look at his first 5 years, his 3-point field goal percentage. It's atrocious. It's 27, 26, 28. And then he started working on it more, shooting more, and then it jumped.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up to being one of the best in the league. So, you know, you can't, it's apples and oranges. You just can't compare it like that.
I love you because you walked right into something else that I brought up earlier in the show, considering our guy Giannis. Again, follow Marcus Johnson, FanDuel Sports Network, a Bucks TV analyst on Twitter at oldschool888 as he joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on The Fan. You look at his 3-point shooting this year, he's taking less than a shot. Less than 1 3 per game. In his MVP years, back when Bud was here, I think his high was like 4.7 threes per game. I remember when Bud got here and Giannis started jacking threes. The fan base was madder than mad at Jason Kidd because he didn't want him shooting threes and so forth. Well, now you see Giannis with another old school guy, right, in Doc Rivers, not taking the threes, but his mid-range game has improved tremendously from at any other point in his career. I argued earlier in the show, Marcus Johnson, that instead of worrying about the damn three-point shot for all those years, if they would have got his mid-range game closer to what it is now versus wasting time on that three, he might even have had better numbers before now.
Well, and so, and again, I'm not knocking this guy, but Josh Oppenheimer, great shooter himself. I've known him since his pre-high school days, since he was 10, 12 years old. But he was an assistant coach under Bud. And he worked with Giannis on trying to improve his three-point shot. And Giannis, to your point, Sparky, in practice, he could knock down 8 out of 10 consistently, 7 out of 10. He looked like a world beater. But to come game time, you know, mentally, it just didn't translate. And so now he's working with Ben Baker, who Ben's game was mid-range. Ben's game was, you know, 10 to 18 feet being effective in that range. So he's working with Giannis more on that aspect, and you see the result. So, you know, a lot of it is where you put your emphasis, you know, is where you'll see the most improvement in current-day players from old days, old school, or whatever. Wherever you emphasize the most work is where you should see the most benefit. And for Giannis right now with Ben, it's all about, you know, post-up moves, one-legged fades. It's all about, you know, hesitation, Kobe-like pull-ups from 12 to 15 feet. And you see the result. And Giannis finally caught on that, look, you know, I'm 30 years old, been around 12 years, a lot of mileage in my body, a lot of beatings in my body. I can make it easier on myself if I can just knock down this 12 to 15-foot mid-range shot. And he's doing it extraordinarily well. So I'm happy to see that.
Giannis last night, 35 points, 20 assists, 17 rebounds. Just an unbelievable stat line. First one to do it in NBA history, which is tremendous. And he deserves all the flowers for that. I have been on a mission since Lillard went out with his blood clot issue that here is Ryan Rollins' chance to step up and show whether or not he can do this kind of going forward. And he has shot the ball well, and I think he's played well in Dame's absence.
He has played extremely well. And so one thing you got to do is kind of, you know, kind of address the root issue of why he's playing so well. And then, so, you know, watch him work out. So he's working out with Donovan Ham, the son of Darvin Ham. He's an assistant coach specifically assigned to Ryan Rollins. Each coach has a couple of players that they are assigned to work out with daily, and pregame, and pre-practice, post-practice. Ryan Rollins has shown such tremendous commitment to getting better. He makes, and Donovan told me this yesterday, he makes 253 after every home game. After every home game.
How many?
He stays around 250. He
250?
He makes 253 after every home game. So he probably shoots, you know, at least 3 to 350. You know, but just to stay sharp, to appreciate this opportunity that he's been blessed with. And before last night, he had a solid game, not great. He was 10 points in that game, minus 16. He was a plus 29, I think, the game before that. Played 29 minutes, but still a good, you know, 2 for 3 from the 3-point range, 4 for 8 overall. But before last night,
And this dude was averaging 17.8, had three career highs in the last four games before last night, shooting 70 from the field, plus 70 from the three-point line. So, you know, a lot of it is opportunity, but you got to give credit to the work that he's put in, the tutelage of Donovan Hand, just staying on him about the mental aspect. I asked Donovan about what did you work on mentally with him? And it was, and mainly it was just playing off of Giannis and understanding that you feed off of Giannis. You eat when Giannis has the ball. You find those open areas that where Giannis, you can get in his vision when he penetrates and get those kick-out passes, especially the corners. And that's where Ryan has been really good. He's been good all over, 53% from corner three, 54% from above the break. But it's all about just the work that he's put in and the commitment that he's shown to making himself a really, really good NBA player. There was some question as to whether or not, you know, he should be get the full season contract, or we should keep Bilal right. And I'd always favored Ryan because of his youth, his arms, his wingspan is almost close to 7 feet. He's a defensive, menace. That's the other thing they talked about, putting that Drew Holiday kind of dog in him at the point of attack. And he's nowhere near Drew at this point in his career, but that's the mindset that they're going for. And right now, man, he's shown that he's going to, I think, have a really, really solid, solid NBA career.
Talking to Bucks legend Marcus Johnson. Catch him on FanDuel Sports Wisconsin, Bucks TV analyst. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Sparky with you. Okay, my next question is Bobby Portis's imminent return here, thankfully. What changes and how difficult is this going to be for this team that hasn't been playing with Bobby Portis for 25 games?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be an adjustment, but it's a good adjustment. You know, I remember the last time Bobby was out, what was it, 6 to 8 games or whatever it was, for personal reasons.
Right.
And that first game back, I want to say he had like 23, but he had like 17 rebounds. And so now you look at what we've done over the last few games, I don't know, 4, 5, 8 games, whatever it is, Dave Kane mentioned it last night, but we're like 26 in defensive rebounding. That's always been our strength. We always top 3 to 5, you know, if not number one in defensive rebounding. You look at the stats, we're still top 5. But the last few games, that's kind of been one of our areas that we've struggled in. Bobby's going to immediately bolster that area of our game. It's really interesting. And I'm not one to believe in fairy tales and theatrics and all that, and the script is written. But if things fall into place, how they potentially could, and it's a long way from that happening, but if Dame comes back, And then Bobby comes back, and Jericho Sims is back from the thumb surgery, and we get that week in between in the play-in week. You know, this team still has the potential, especially at
Indiana. Don't do this. You're going to graze up everybody's hopes, and everybody's going to be like, Marcus told me we were going to be fine.
No, I didn't say fine, but my old owner, Jim Fitzgerald, used to always say, we sell them hope. You got to sell them hope.
Right.
I'm selling hope right now. But if everything falls into place, and that's a big hit. That's a, Dame situation with the blood. That's a big if. Bobby coming in seamlessly. Jericho coming back and giving us the screen assist where he was like top 5 in the league in terms of per 36 minutes, what he's doing out there, the wall, I call him. I mean, but the potential, I was thinking about it last night. You know, I want to play the Pacers. It's a team that we played well against this year, you know, in the first round, and then see what happens after that. But I believe that there's an opportunity. You know, and it's a long, I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bank on it. But there's an opportunity for this team to still do some positive things. And if you looked at the theatrics of it, I mean, it'd be the, you know, these are the dark night of the soul days in terms of a screenplay, in terms of, it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to do anything at all in postseason right now. But I'm telling you, man, that there's still an opportunity for some good things to happen with this team if everything falls into place. And the fact that Ryan Rodham's getting these minutes right now, and some of these other guys are playing a lot more than they're accustomed to and playing some decent basketball. AJ's getting his shot back. It's the possibility of some good things still happening for the Milwaukee Bucks this season.
I'm glad I got you on a Friday going into the weekend, because you made every Bucks fan much happier listening to you end this interview. FanDuel Sports Network's Marcus Johnson, always on the call with the Bucks TV analyst. Follow him on Twitter at oldschool888. And yeah, he's still dunking the basketball too. Marcus, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you.